God of harmony as well. He's the reason why we can sit here and agree in the way that that group just agreed. But this morning's message is actually going to be a bit about disagreement. So please turn to Acts 15, verse 36. And as I read this passage, by the way, that is in your bulletins on page 5. And if you grabbed a Bible from the back, it's on page 784 of your Bible. And as I read this passage this morning, I'd like you to, as you hear it, recognize what emotions rise up as you hear this passage. Recognize what emotion comes up and when it comes up. I want you to make a mental note, or you can write it down in your bulletin, what it is you feel. Is it anger? Is it joy? Is it frustration? Is it sadness? And when is that? Because that will help us later on to learn what God has to teach us from this passage. But first, let me pray that God would make our hearts open to this. Father in heaven, this is your word. We pray that you'd make our hearts open to it, that we might be able to learn and become more like your Son. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Beginning in verse 36 of chapter 15. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So where was it? Where was it that you felt that emotion? What emotion was it? Did you note it? Did you note it mentally? Did you put it down on paper? If I was a betting man, which I'm not because I lose often, I would bet that you would have felt some frustration or anger, or sadness maybe, when we got to the point about disagreement. Disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. I don't know, maybe you felt joy at a disagreement. But certainly this is supposed to draw out emotion at this point. And it makes sense because disagreements are disagreeable. They do make us feel bad. And maybe we have good reasons for saying, yeah, a disagreement's a bad thing. I mean, we go to a place like 2 Corinthians 13. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another." Right? So we might say, well, a disagreement ought to make me feel bad. We're called to not disagree. We also might say disagreements are selfish. You know, it's about me wanting my way and you wanting your way. And if we're disagreeing, I'm just unwilling to bow to and think about your perspective. And in that sense, yeah, there are good reasons for disagreement. But sometimes we can have emotions well up for the wrong sorts of reasons in the midst of disagreement. For example, just hearing about that might remind us of what it's like when we've been in a disagreement and had that fear of rejection. What if I disagree with you and you reject me? You just cut me off. The relationship's over. And so I have this fear, this anxiety, this anger that might well up in me in the light of this story because of my own story. Or maybe as I read this passage and I see the disagreement, I feel these emotions because I'm afraid that I might be wrong about the position that I'm taking. I mean, I'm taking this position, and what if I get shown to be wrong? Of course, we can dress those sorts of fears up really nice and say, well, I'm just trying to be unselfish. I'm just trying to follow the commands of God. But we have trouble with disagreements, and sometimes we don't handle them well emotionally. But what I want us to see today is that disagreements aren't always bad. Disagreements, in a sense, can be healthy. And bottom line, disagreements are actually, at times, unavoidable. Disagreements are flat out unavoidable at times in this world. And so the call from God in this passage is that we disagree to the glory of God. And so then we're going to look at that today and see how we can disagree to the glory of God. Let me first just explain why it is, though, that disagreements are unavoidable. On one hand, the reason why we will disagree is because we're creatures. God is the creator. God is the one who has a divine perspective. He's the only one. Each and every one of us is limited. We can only deal with the information that we have. And so as we seek to work out issues between one another, we're simply not going to have God's perspective unless he speaks into the situation. So we will at times disagree. Additionally, with the entrance of sin into the picture, the whole irrationality of sin, it complicates things. And so disagreements are unavoidable. So our calling, when we have those disagreements, is to disagree to the glory of God. Let's look at this passage, walk through it, see how Barnabas and Paul went through this, and then we'll take out some principles and see how they apply not only to our relationships in the church, but also at work, at home, at school. Beginning in verse 36. And after some days, stop. And after some days, whenever we read "and after some days" in the scripture, we know we now have to think about the days before, right? Context. Context is king when we read the Bible. So after some days, well, what just happened? Well, chapter 15 just happened. Or better yet, the Jerusalem Council just happened. What was the Jerusalem Council about? A disagreement. A disagreement that was about what makes somebody a Christian. On what basis can Jews and Gentiles have dinner together and consider each one of them part of the people of God? Is it because they believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that they might be forgiven of their sins and given his spirit to live a life that they were meant to live? Or is it the gospel plus becoming Jewish culturally? They had to iron that question out. There was real disagreement in the church. And when that question was ironed out, to find yourself on one side of the disagreement or the other meant you were either in or out of the church. This was the sort of disagreement that would not allow for unity to be maintained. You actually had to come out on the right side of that whole issue. So now as we move from this disagreement, Paul and Barnabas take the findings from the Jerusalem Council back to their home church in Antioch. And after some days of doing work amongst them in unity, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord." Paul has an idea. Let's go back. Again, context is king. What's he talking about? He's talking about that journey in chapter 13, the first missionary journey, we call it sometimes. If we had a Facebook page for this first missionary journey, you would have seen Paul and Barnabas on a ship going through the Mediterranean. You'd have seen pictures in Cyprus and then going into southern Turkey. You would have seen these two together, happy. They would have been eating in restaurants together, talking about what they're going to do when they get to Pamphylia. And then there's this big group of people who are now believers who've gained the hope of a life after death and a life even now in the present by the Spirit. Great pictures. Great pictures. And they had a great time on this missionary journey. And so Paul, after some days of ministering in Antioch, he says, "Let's go back, Barnabas." So Barnabas follows with an idea. Verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. Oh, yes, I forgot to mention. On that Facebook page, as you went through it, as they're in the Mediterranean on that ship and they've got their arms around each other, John Mark was right there with them. He was smiling. All through Cyprus, John's with them. He's in the restaurants planning. He's with the groups of new believers. But then as you're clicking through pictures and you get to southern Turkey, all of a sudden John Mark drops off. Where did he go? Well, Paul highlights why. Verse 38, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from the work in Pamphylia. Now, this word that Luke uses to describe Paul's argument is apostanta. It's related to our English word apostasy. It has to do with hostility, strife, rebellion. What John Mark did was he introduced into the whole situation the complication of sin. The whole irrationality of sin has now entered into this whole issue. And although Barnabas, who is the uncle of John Mark, by the way, which adds another element, Barnabas wants to bring John Mark, Paul is saying, I cannot, in my conscience, bring this man along with me because of what he did last time. I can't put the work at risk like that. Well, what happens? Verse 39, there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. There arose a sharp disagreement. This could not be settled. And because of these two different positions, they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. So he went back to one area where they'd gone on the first journey. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went in another direction. Now, one thing that I think is very, very interesting in the book of Acts is that at no point later in Paul's journeys does he ever go back to Cyprus. You see, this disagreement didn't break the unity that Paul had with Barnabas and John Mark even. They shared the same message. They shared the same faith in the same Lord with the same baptism. And so he trusted that work that they were going to do among the churches that he helped to plant in Cyprus. He entrusted Barnabas and John Mark to the God whose gospel they were proclaiming. This is disagreeing to the glory of God. Paul didn't show up while Barnabas and John Mark were doing work in these churches and start doing work along at the same time and just causing discord. This is disagreeing to the glory of God. And so as we think about this, there are some principles that I want us to see are not only valuable here at Crossroads in the larger church as well, if you're online and you're on blogs, but also at work, at school, family. These principles from God's word and what we see at work here will help you to disagree to the glory of God. First of all, disagree with humility. We've already talked about how we are simply creatures. Not a one of us knows for sure. Only God knows for sure anything. God is God, and we are his creatures. We always have a perspective, and so we have to be willing to be humble about our state as creatures. Not only that, like we saw with John Mark, in every situation, sin enters in, and it complicates the dickens out of situations. So, when you are in that next disagreement, be humble. Disagree with humility. This is what brings honor to God. Next time you're in that disagreement, say, what am I not taking into account about the other person's position? What am I not taking into account? Am I taking into account that they've done this a lot longer than I have? Am I taking into account their learning, their studies? What about their story, their background? What might be making them mad that doesn't seem to make me as mad? And how can I account for that in this disagreement? What don't I know? How might they have been mistreated by sin? And that's complicating the issue. Okay? Be humble in that disagreement. That will bring glory to God. Further, we should disagree but not despise the other. That's hard, isn't it? You get into that verse 39, there arose a sharp disagreement. I don't know about you, but when I get into a sharp disagreement, it's hard for me not to despise the other person. It's hard. And it's probably because of my own emotional immaturity that I'm not okay with being wrong, or I'm not okay with that person maybe rejecting me or talking about me behind my back. And so I disagree with despising. But we should disagree without despising. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 14 as he writes to Jews and Gentiles in Rome who are having disagreements about whether they should eat only vegetables or whether they can eat anything, about whether they should treat some days as holy or they can treat all days the same. Let's listen. Romans 14, verse 1. And as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let the one who eats not despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. So in our disagreements, Paul's allowing for that disagreement to exist in Rome. But he's saying, when it happens, don't despise the other. You're still brothers. You still have that common bond in the love of Jesus Christ. So you're not to despise the other. If you despise that other person when you're disagreeing with them, ask yourself, with regards to the emotions you noted in yourself when you thought about disagreements, am I doing this because of righteous reasons, or am I doing this because I'm afraid of what might happen if I disagree with this person, of how they might treat me in response? Am I despising them because I want to get the first punch in before they despise me right back? If you're despising them, you're not disagreeing to the glory of God. Finally, we should disagree as those who are ultimately answerable to Christ, the one with whose will we must always agree. We could talk a lot about relationships and agreement in relationships. Children, even if you disagree with your parents, God's put them in your life to guide you. You must agree with them, except in extreme cases where they might ask you to do something against God's will, but I don't think that's going to happen. But when we disagree with one another, we must do it as those who are ultimately answerable to Christ. Listen to this, same chapter, Romans 14. Paul writes, "For to this end, this is why Jesus died, right? To this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or you? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Every one of us, in the position that we take, we have to be able to say in our conscience, I can stand before Jesus and say, I did what I knew was best with the information that was given to me. And I believe that this was right, Lord. I was doing it to honor you. I can stand before you at the final judgment and say, I did what I knew was right. That's how we disagree to the glory of God. But, you know, sometimes we disagree with others because we're not so much committed to the judgment of Jesus, but we're more committed to maybe our mother's judgment and how we should have thought according to her, or our father's judgment. We're afraid of what this person might think of the position we're taking, as opposed to saying, can I not just stand before my mother, or not just stand before my sister and tell them what I did, but can I stand before Jesus? Because that's where we ultimately have to bring our positions before. The places where we've decided to disagree, that's the place that we have to stand and say, Jesus, I took this position, and he'll judge it. And that's freeing, because Jesus wants us to make the right judgment. So disagree as those who are ultimately answerable to Christ. When I think about disagreements, I think about one of my friends. He's so disagreeable. He loves it. He kind of thrives on it in a sense. But I believe that he disagrees to the glory of God. I remember being on the back deck of his apartment in downtown St. Louis one night, and they were drinking beers, these two men. I wasn't. I don't drink. They do. That's a whole other disagreement we could talk about within the church. But in this case, these two were sitting next to each other, and they were talking. And they were talking about how, is it right for somebody who willingly puts themselves into debt by going into school, because they were both in school, for somebody who willingly puts themselves into debt by going into school to take welfare? One guy was having real money problems because he wasn't taking the welfare because he believed it was wrong because he'd willingly put himself into debt. The other guy had gone through school and was taking the welfare check because he needed to provide for his kids, and he had all of his different reasons. These two disagreed. You know, they had it out there on the back deck that night. But that I know that my friend disagrees to the glory of God is because I just spoke to him the other day as he's about to do some really big things in his life. And he told me that he called that guy to ask him for advice about how best to go about this decision-making process. So that's the challenge to you this week. If you do nothing else, I want you to get on Facebook, or I want you to get on the phone, or I want you to write a letter or send an email to somebody that you've disagreed with before. Maybe you despised them a bit. Maybe you're afraid of how they've talked about you after that disagreement. And you're going to ask them for advice about something in your life. That's the challenge for you this week. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have called us your people, and that you help guide us through and navigate us through the waves of life in your word. We thank you for your word, Father. Establish your church in Jesus' name. Amen.